Oh no, too early.
Hey, Greg. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. Very great.
What's up? How you doing?
Oh, hi. I'm good. How about you, Greg?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot going on.
Yeah.
At your agency,
probably tough times over there.
Oh.
Politics are part of the
top
period anyway.
And we're just losing a lot of what we had went out for three district directors.
Retirement,
yeah.
Three district
directors? Yeah, three from the bar.
I hope he's going to have one.
I'm just trying to
stay afloat.
So, we got 3, 10, district 10. He's been around a while.
It'll
use in district 11, San Diego.
It is in the frying pan. Why are you trying to find it?
Wow.
Are you recording at this time?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't start recording until just 2 minutes before
that. Chris got
everything.
Chris got everything out
there. Okay.
So we usually have, like, 10 minutes. The closer we get when I start it, then I always have some sort of issue, and then I have to call Chad and it just becomes a problem. So we started, and then Chris cuts everything.
But it's going out over the camera
right now. People are logged in.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it always makes me nervous.
No.
The camera is running, and I'm just a fan. Okay, I'm
going to work. No, I watch.
Okay,
just to make sure.
You can do
anything. Do you have water?
I'm good. I got water.
Okay. Yeah, I remember walking in your head.
All right.
For people.
Yeah. Oh, it's still 5 minutes in. We're waiting for the heavy wind to blow. Here comes one.
No. I'm jumping the gun.
Hello.
Yeah,
I didn't get that even, Brian.
Why are you listening to it?
So that's what I'm talking about. I have a staff that can start. The argument is that you put kids in the
But in a way that you're like excited that you're now
although it's 6 o'clock, we are short of a quorum, so we're going to wait a few minutes until two of our colleagues join us. Thank you for your patience.
Are you using microphones, Kelly?
I thought they all of you don't.
We do both, I think.
Okay.
For sure.
Correct. Yes, there are some. Okay, you can bring your daughter up.
Welcome.
Make yourself at home, okay? Anywhere.
Yeah.
Rest of the day?
Yeah.
Want to
bring her up here? Put her
chair next. Oh, that would be great. Okay. 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 Okay, awesome.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is now 6:03. We have a quorum, and we are prepared to proceed with the meeting of the November Board of Directors for the Yolo Transportation District. This is Monday, November 13th, 2023. The record will reflect that, again, we have a quorum. We are missing Director Lauren, who is ill. Is she here by Zoom? Oh, we're glad you're here, Director Lauren, by Zoom. I understand you have a little knee issue, so we're just glad you made the effort to be with us electronically. And, and Director Breras is at the event on the California State Association of Counties, so he's operating remotely as well. Why don't we have a roll call and both of our electronic indicators are present? Director, excuse me, Madam Clerk, will you call the roll, please?
Yes. City of Woodland?
Present.
City of Davis?
Here.
City of West Sacramento?
Here.
City of, Zillow County?
I am here.
And City of Woodland?
Here.
Thank you. The quorum has been confirmed by our clerk with the roll call. So, with that, you are able, if you wish to participate, by the way, electronically.
Mr. Chair, just want to make sure we do our roll call for our executive member.
Oh. Oh,
my apologies. Calvin?
Here.
And UC Davis.
Yes, here. Thank you. I never want to take for granted the participation of UC Davis or Caltrans. Thank you both for being here and joining with our board. All right, well, that concludes the agenda, excuse me, as far as terming a quorum. We can move on to our business. And item two is comments from the public on items not otherwise on our agenda this evening. Does anyone wish to speak on an item that's not agendized tonight? See no response in the room. Is there anyone electronically?
We do have one comment online from Mr. Alan Hirsch.
That's a surprise. All right, Alan. I'm just teasing you. You've got 3 minutes. Please proceed.
Thank you very much. I have not received, if the board has received any written comments, I have not received them. So I was hoping you would remedy that real time. Thank you. I was at the Sacramento, please remedy that. We proceed the meeting beyond this comment. Second thing, I was at a SACOG Transportation Commission meeting 10 days ago, and the mayor of high-level Caltrans whistleblower. And the mayor of Marysville spoke up. And I'm sure Lucas has heard this before because he's a member of the paper. They basically said, oh, yes, Marysville is now suing Caltrans for the same reasons the whistleblower come forward. That's in court today. I'm not sure what happened at court today in Yuba County. But they said basically Caltrans took 20 miles of widening north of Marysville, of SR-70, and piecemealed it into small projects and widened, and took two lanes of road and widened it to four lanes. And they did not plan on the consequence of having only two lanes to the city of Marysville. So now we have four lanes of traffic pouring into Marysville, and these people are cutting through neighborhoods. They're causing traffic to make it unsafe. And basically, Caltrans did not do an induced demand study, were not clarified, and they didn't study an alternative, like Marysville wanted a bypass study. So they are suing. This is what Caltrans does. This is what's happened to Davis. Because basically, they've widened the freeway all west of us, and they basically left us as a bottleneck without looking at transit alternatives. This is the same consequence. We have an agency that basically just does what it must. This is what the whistleblower Gene Ward Waller said. So I'm saying this city sued Caltrans to stop this thing. We are, as cities, are not powerless to stop this agency that seems to be out of control, that doesn't respect the livability of our cities, that thinks widening freeways is the ultimate public good, and ignores public transit alternatives, which we need for transit infrastructure. Thanks for listening. If you saw my newsletter, the IAD News, you should get that. We'll have a link to the article that quotes staff from Caltrans who retired and said that they were, quote, embarrassed by what they were asked to do by their boss. Yuba Sutter appeal. That's what the quote right from there. We need to basically, the same methods will give us, will not stop. If we do the same old things, we will get the same old solution, which is destroying our planet. We need to have a different solution, and Caltrans, as it's constituted now, does not seem to be capable of envisioning a different future. Thank you.
And thank you, Alan. We appreciate your citizenship and your participation in our process. We have had no comments so far to forward to you. I just verified that with our executive director. Is there anyone else online who wishes to speak today? Madam Clerk.
Not at this time.
All right. Well, that will conclude public comment. We will now move to our consent calendar. This is item 3A through 3G. Does any member of our board wish to remove any item from our consent calendar for independent discussion? If not, I'd certainly be happy to hear a motion.
So moved. So second.
Okay. It's been moved by Josh and second by Dante to approve the consent calendar. But if anyone member of the public wishes to be heard on any item on the consent calendar, this would be the time to speak up.
And just a reminder, Chair Steller, that both public comment and then also because we have two members remotely, we need to do a roll call vote.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm out of touch with the Zoom requirements. All right, we are under new legal scriptures, thanks to our legislature. So, Madam Clerk, please call the roll on this consent calendar.
City of Woodland?
Aye.
City of Davis?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Winter?
Aye.
Yola Sun?
Aye.
Yeah.
Motion carries unanimously. And Director Early, I would like you to introduce our special guest tonight.
Thank you so much, Chair. So my daughter is working on homework next to us. She wants to kind of see what mommy does. And so I thought this was a great opportunity. Her name is Quinn. You want to say hi? All right. So she is here silently observing. Thank you.
Welcome.
Hi, Quinn.
Hey there. Welcome.
Hi, Quinn.
So you're on television, among other things. Well, we're glad you're here. And, you know, I've always felt as a public official that children belong in our meetings just like anybody else, and we can all accommodate it in any way to make them feel welcome. Okay? I mean it. All right. We now proceed to the regular calendar. This is item 4, which is YOLO 80 Managed Lanes Project Update. And I think, Brian, you're taking this over.
We're going to start a few minutes. I'll start, and then I'm going to hand it over to Beth. Great. So welcome. Good evening. And thank you all for being here. We do have a slide deck, so I'll give Heather a second to pull that up. And you also have printed copies in front of you. And I believe there's some in the back if there's anyone else in the audience would like a copy. So I want to start with slide 4. Yep, go ahead to the next slide. Perfect. All right. So we'll start with one back in there. There we go. All right. Key activities since the last time we met, which was almost 2 months ago, we've continued to have delays in release of the environmental document, but we're very pleased to announce that it was in fact released this evening around 4:30 p.m.
Yay! Congratulations!
I'm looking at you.
Did Greg Pan carry it over?
He did respond to my text in all caps. so we're very pleased. We would have loved it sooner, but we're pleased that we did finally get here. But there has been a lot happening since that time, other than just sitting around waiting for the environmental document to be released. We have been in a lot of conversations about whether or not it would be possible for this project to open as a full lane in the first phase and what it would take to make that happen. And so we have refocused and redoubled our efforts on what's called our Foreign Advanced Planning Process. This is a process that was funded with a $2 million grant from SHACOG to complete all the necessary steps that would be needed in order for this lane to open as a full lane. And we'll come back to that in just a minute. So the DED released today. Many alternatives. I think that the running total is 14. I guess that's not the final total. Multiples of those alternatives include tolling. So there are other alternatives that do not include tolling, but many of them do. The tolling alternatives are consistent with the board's adopted goals and the work of staff to date. Caltrans will present the findings of the draft environmental document at our December meeting. As well, in addition, they'll be holding 2 published meetings between now and then, one in West Sacramento and one in Davis, and I'm sure Greg will share those details with you. Sure, he's got them at his fingertips. And also, our Citizens Advisory Committee, which met last week, also requested, if possible, to have a special meeting to discuss the draft environmental document as well. So now that the document has been released, we'll be working to try to set that up. We as an agency can choose to weigh in if there's an alternative that we prefer, if there's additional mitigation measures that we think should be included, if there's mitigation measures that are included that we don't think should be included, any other recommendations. That conversation will happen at our December board meeting after everyone has had a chance to review the environmental document, and we've had a presentation from Caltrans as well as input from the public and hopefully the Citizens Advisory Committee. Next slide. So, as I mentioned, separate from the EIR, there is a whole other body of work that needs to happen if this project is to move forward as hold lanes. And that's our tolling advanced planning process that we've been working on. The key deadline that we're working towards is that we need to have an application to the California Transportation Commission that would authorize an agency here in the Sacramento region to be the tolling authority. There's really many requirements. There's 2 arrows. Everything that's below the blue box includes the environmental review, outreach engagement, and a financial feasibility plan. And then to the right is a whole bunch of studies that are required in terms of demonstrating the project's technical feasibility. And then last but certainly not least, a governance agreement. There's also a CHP enforcement agreement, but for the purposes of this, I think that the key issue is that we do need to have a governance agreement, essentially establishing a new tolling authority And those conversations are happening now. They've been happening, actually, for 6 or 7 months, but we now have a deadline to get them done. And so we're talking, we'll be very closely with our partners at STACOM, which either has to be part of a tolling authority or has to give its blessing to a tolling authority as the MTO for the region. And so for those of you that sit on the STACOM board, this is something that will be coming to the STACOM board for consultation and discussion in December. So I want to make everyone aware of that. Now, it's important to emphasize that the establishment of the tolling authority and all the work that would go to creating a tolling authority and to moving forward our tolling advanced planning is entirely separate from whether or not this project moves forward. These are two parallel efforts, but establishing a tolling authority is a necessary precondition to having this open as a toll lane. Now, down the road, the board will also have a decision to make about whether or not to proceed at all. So it's possible that there's things that will happen that will mean that this project does not go forward as a toll lane, in which case the board will then have to decide, do we move forward with authorizing $86 million for construction, or do we not? All of these steps that we're talking about over the next couple months related to tolling advanced planning are necessary if we do want the project to proceed as a toll lane, but they are not approval of the project itself. So I just want to make that distinction. I'm not sure how well I made it, but happy to answer questions to that effect. Next slide, please. So some of for the tolling advanced planning work, there's a number of tasks that need to happen, and this shows you what the tasks are and who the lead agency is, and you can see there's some things that are Caltrans and UOCD have to do together, some that are Caltrans, and then some that are entirely ours. And the next item on the agenda, we'll talk about the kind of financial resources that are required to move all these things ahead, but wanted to give you a sense of, you know, what are the things that we are the lead on. And again, all of these activities are funded by our State Hub grant that we received earlier this year, $2 million. Next slide. And this is our best timeline for all of the things that need to happen in sequence in order for this project to move forward as a toll managed lane and in a timeline that is necessary in order to obligate the $86 million that we have from the federal government because those funds do expire next year. So between now and March, the DAD, the draft environmental document, that whole process is moving forward as with the kickoff today, or excuse me, with the release today. Concurrently, all the tolling advanced planning activities need to happen in the same time frame, so that at the March California Transportation Commission meeting, we can be ready with the tolling authority application. They would consider that in March and end up make a final decision in May. And that puts us in line to then be able to obligate our infra funding in September, assuming that all of those precursor deadlines are met and all the boxes are checked and the board wants to move forward with the project that we have. Essentially, so that final decision close to that September 2024 deadline. So that's a lot about process. I'm going to stop there. I'm just going to hand it over to Brian, who's going to talk about public engagement with regard to the draft environmental document and how we and Caltrans are working together to make sure we have robust community participation.
Thank you, Director. Appreciate the opportunity to share some of this information with you. Public engagement is going to be an important part of this project. It has been, even up to this point. Thinking about what we've been doing up to this point, back in the spring, we were doing outreach to key stakeholder groups in the intent or with the purpose of building momentum towards what we're planning on doing right now, which is phase two, sort of more retail level, community outreach. But back in the spring, we were kind of focused on trying to get some preliminary input from key stakeholder groups that are, have a unique interest in or are affected by Interstate 80. And so, we sort of kicked that off back in the spring with a priority project tour that we conducted with local electeds in Caltrans headquarters. And you can see in the image in the middle right, that's Autumn, sharing our perspective on the OOE management project with a group of participants in that priority project tour. We were on a bus and just, really talking about the project and what its needs were. We also supplemented that with actual presentations similar to kind of what we're doing right now to, you know, 19 different stakeholder groups and comprised of, you know, transportation and local government agencies and environmental advocacy groups and social services providers and also professional and labor groups, all of whom, you know, have a distinct interest in Interstate 80. We also produced a project video attempting to a list of our phase one outreach group. And so to help people familiarize people with the project, get a better understanding of it. So when the second phase arrives, which it's doing now, they would have some level of familiarity with the project. And also during this time, we were regularly giving briefings and having conversations with our legislators just to make sure that they understood how the project was progressing. So,
Brian, talking to my own colleague here, the board did not receive that video. I think it would be nice if you sent it to us.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, phase two is what we're engaging in now. Remember, we were intending on launching this phase back in late June, which was when the original EIR was supposed to be released. So there's been some delays, and the schedule that we're working with now is a little bit more compressed than what we were originally assuming. Can you go back up one slide, please? So what we're trying to do with this phase is really that retail level outreach that we mentioned earlier and to maximize participation in the environmental review process. But roles and responsibilities are a little bit different between Caltrans and YOLO-TD. So Caltrans is the lead agency for CEQA and NEPA purposes, and they have minimum requirements that they must adhere to, and they control some of the training of those requirements. However, YOLO-TD, we can, like we did in phase one, we can conduct complementary outreach, which is what we intend to do. And we can, you know, piggyback and leverage off of things that the Caltrans is already planning on doing as well. But if you look at the next slide, you kind of see some of the tools that we've developed for wider scale community engagement. We just launched a new website today and an online survey. We've got a media kit that we're preparing where we have a social media strategy we're going to use to get people involved in the project, digital ads, and there's also in-person outreach opportunities, which Otto mentioned earlier, that we can partner with Caltrans on. So next slide, please. Now, using some of those tools that I just mentioned, we can also push message to encourage more participation and to raise awareness. We have a project level database of over 150 stakeholder organizations. We also have a extensive list that Yolo County provided us for their when they were doing COVID public health, you know, regular coordination through their public information officers. So that will reach all the local agencies, PIOs, as well as a broad range of non-governmental organizations. We also have our own internal database of over 850 contacts, and we can also leverage YOLO Commute, 540-plus database, to raise awareness and to seek their participation in the EIR process and the online survey. Of course, we have several target audiences that we are really, you know, trying to focus getting input on or input from, and so we will be trying to target our outreach towards them.
Just a quick correction on this slide, which was done before 4:30 this afternoon. The public comment period that ended, I believe, effective January 6th. Is that right, Greg?
Yes.
We will make that correction retroactively before this or when we post it back to the website.
Okay.
So next slide. Of course, we need to be precise in our messaging and what we're asking from people during this process. And so we are really trying to engage people with a message that they can help shape the future of Interstate 80 by commenting on the EIR and taking our survey. So the flow chart on the left kind of helps people visualize how their input can influence the project. So you see that top box just is sort of the start of the outreach. They can either comment on the EIR, or they can participate in our short survey that we produce, or they can do both. And then both of those sort of will feed into the preferred alternative selected in the EIR. So a few themes that we're also focusing on for the project includes Interstate 80 is a shared resource for many people. Many people are reliant on it, and many people are affected by it. And so we need to hear from those people to help us make informed decisions. And through inclusive engagement, which we are wanting to focus on, we need to hear from a wide range of the community, including those who are not typically represented in transportation planning processes. And of course, we will be emphasizing this board's commitment to the project goals that you all adopted back in December of 2021, and how the project that's defined in the EIR is more compatible with the growth goals. So, next slide. The quick timeline here. So a lot of these activities will be occurring throughout the duration of the EIR window. And so it's going to be continuous outreach and engagement between now and January 5th. The press release and media kits, those will be front-loaded, right, so we can get the messaging out in person. Meetings will require a little bit of advanced planning and also giving people time to become aware that the EIR is out, become aware that the survey is out, and then be in a position to provide meaningful input. So that's why those are scheduled a few weeks into this process. So that concludes our formal presentation on the project, and happy to answer any questions or engage in conversation.
Thank you, Brian. Board members, any questions for staff on the update report? I'm looking out there in electronic land too. Either look at for Lauren if you have any questions or comments, you can just nod or take your hand.
Thank you. Hand is raised.
Yes, okay, if I can, you know.
I'm tiny.
Your hand. All right, we're going to make Lucas full screen. You see both have hands up, so we'll start with Lucas and then we'll go to Lauren. Lucas Ferris, please.
Thanks. Very much, and again, apologies for not being there in person this evening at the State Association of Counties conference this week. So, appreciate the opportunity to participate remotely. Thanks so much for the overview. Obviously, glad to hear there's actually a draft EIR to actually start to discuss, or at least have, the update on. So, congrats to Caltrans for the releasing of it this afternoon. The first primary item for me is just around the 45-day window of public comment. I mean, we're literally, a week away or so from Thanksgiving and into the busy holiday season, and appreciate that there's a 45-day window, but, with the correction of that slide that gets us to January 5th, it's a very busy time of year for most people, and I'm not sure it's entirely conducive to, providing the full amount range of public input that would be warranted on such a large item. So I'm hoping, I think this is not a YTD decision. It is a Caltrans decision officially, but I'm going to ask about the possibility of, is 45 days adequate for public comment on a project as large as this? I do appreciate that there are proposed to be a couple of different public workshops, or meetings. I would really appreciate hearing about those details soon so we can not only help promote them, but also hopefully they haven't just been set already, because the idea of trying to have a discussion and partnership with the various jurisdictions that make up this agency, I would really appreciate if there was an opportunity to participate in the planning of the public meetings, so as opposed to just having them be arbitrarily set by Caltrans. And so I guess that's the second question. So the first question is, what can we do about extending the window from 45 days to, you know, 60 days, something along those lines, in terms of public comment. And the second question has to do with what are the details and what is the process with regard to the planned public workshops? Thank you.
So I'm looking at Greg Wong, who's here, and I want to see if he would like to respond. And I do have some of those meeting details up on my phone, but I bet you have them too.
I do have them. Can you hear me okay? Can you hear?
Yes, absolutely.
So right now, Director Ferris, we're at January 5th is the end of the comment period. During the process, as far as the public comment, we can possibly assess. But right now, we've got it set at January 5th. The venues for the public meetings have been set. November 28th in West Sacramento at the community center on West Capitol, and then on the 13th at the Mary L. Stevens Davis Branch Library at 315 East 14th Street. And so it's kind of part of our process is we set up the, once we release the DED, we set up the environmental, we set up the public meetings. That's where we're at right now.
Thanks for the responses. I just a quick sort of follow up. I mean, it sounds like they're already set though. It's not we release the draft and then we set up the public meetings. It's we release the draft and the public meeting dates and locations without any kind of cooperation between the agencies that make up this agency, unless I'm mistaken. Maybe you were all coordinating with YPD staff, but I don't know that any of our individual agencies, Yolo County, Cities of Davis, West Sacramento, Winters, whomever, I'm not sure that any of them were really in the loop on the helping to set up the locations or the dates. So I think that presents a bit of a challenge as well. Thank you.
We had two questions, Lucas, did both get addressed?
The window wasn't addressed.
It just was a kind of they're sticking with this 45 days for the time being, I think, is what I heard.
Well, thank you. Director Lauren was second, and then we'll go to Josh here. Director Lauren?
Yeah, first, I wanted to say that I was remiss when I when attendance was taken in stating that I'm on Zoom because of an injury and that there's nobody that's under 18 in the room with me during this meeting. And then I wanted to say that I like that there's a presentation of our part of it, like our timeline. But I think that all of our directors need that updated document also so that we can be following along. I think that we should be included in every part of the plan of public meetings, of any meetings that Caltrans plans. And then I think that we should really front load as much information as possible to the legislators that are going to be, going to be held kind of accountable, even though this is, you know, not really their decision, but they're going to need to answer questions. So we really need to get them all the information that they need and constantly keep them in the loop also. Those are my comments.
Can I ask Mr. Wong, sorry, to just clarify, how many days is the public comment period?
I think it's like 54 days.
54.
Yeah. Thank you.
So it exceeds the minimum.
Correct. It is beyond the 45-day period.
Okay.
Factoring the holidays.
Okay.
Director Lauren made some observations. Are those things we can accommodate as well? I'm looking at you.
I'm sorry. Accommodations in terms of?
Engaging the board throughout the process and making sure our legislators are also briefed regularly so that they're able to respond to inquiries.
Yeah, the board absolutely will be engaged in our Citizens Advisory Committee. Right now, those are the two events that we're planning to hold.
Yeah.
We'll also be, Heather did send out an email just before the board meeting to the board members with this info. We'll put up, as Brian alluded to, we have a much larger list of people that we are planning to engage tomorrow. We haven't done it today, but we absolutely will. And I can assure you that the legislative board actually already had a conversation with some member of your attorney's office this afternoon.
Thank you. Director Chapman.
Thank you, Chair Scholar. Thank you, staff, for this presentation. My line of questions were very similar to Director Frere. So I guess I would like to just drill down on, if possible, is when Caltrans has their internal timeline with regards to how long they go. What is there a is there any flexibility in the 54 day? Right. I mean, is it you're going more than the 45, right? But is there what timeline are you up against that it has this 54?
We considered, because of the holidays, to go beyond the 45 days. And that was the thought process. January 5th is about 8 days after the 45 day period. So that's kind of where we stopped it at.
Got it. And then when you said, again, when we look at your timeline, when it ends at the 54 day period, your internal review of that is how long?
Our internal review is probably going to be about 30 days.
Right.
So a lot to come. And that's pushing the schedule to get to the point where we're going to be comfortable with the data, but not to lose the infogram, right? So it's just a little tight, but, you know, that's why we landed at really January 5th was just to give us enough time, but, you know.
Sure. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I guess I was just hoping to be, you know, there would be a little bit more time if it was available. I know the timeline of those projects across the board are extremely tight, and was wondering if there was any 54 days is better than 45 days. But I would echo Director Barrett's comments around the length of time I think that the community would need to appropriately look at this and our respective jurisdictions to look at this if they're going to weigh in on it over the course of, you know, the busiest time of the year for folks. And I think it's one of the important pieces for our community to really, you know, all of our communities to step back and have buy-in on this project is the sense that it is not rushed, right? And that there is a community engagement process that is as robust as it can be given the time of year. And then we're in a less than ideal situation around when it's released. I think in anyone's perfect world, we wouldn't have this coming before us right before Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year. But we are. So I was just hoping to kind of get a little bit better of an understanding of how much more time might be in that timeline for us to bump it a little bit more, but it sounds like what you're saying is that that's not possible.
So, big milestone for us to get it released.
Totally, no, I get that.
We can.
Can I
understand that? Yeah, I work to do it, so that's, we can take it back.
Yeah, and then I think just the other piece too, I think, you know, on top of with the two meetings that are set, I would anticipate or the two what you talked about here already this evening are just our own events and things that we are going to do on our own, and community engagement, not just within stakeholder groups, but I think it's important for us to be able to find ways to reach people who are, as Brian said, not normally engaged in this process and what that looks like, QR codes, things like that, that we see that work in different communities, to get people to be able to do something quickly, to get feedback, and to understand and know what's happening, right? Not a lot of folks don't know what's happening, and I think it's important for us to really put our foot forward in that part as we continue on the process.
Thank you, Director Early.
So I do want to make sure I'm really clear on just the timeline. And so I have it here, and it says February DED certification. And so would we need the final EIR to be complete by February? And I want to make sure I'm on the same page.
Correct.
Okay, so I think we need to speak plainly then, right? So it's January 5th because Caltrans needs, you're hoping 30 days in February. Do we have a general idea? Is it end of February, the middle of February, our birthday in February?
Well, in order to meet the timeline laid out for the CDC action, mid to late February is I believe what we talked about for CDC. So
we've been told that our tolling authority materials need to be ready by February 5th, but I'm not sure if that is the same date that the EIR also needs to be complete by then or not. I don't know.
Okay. There's something they're looking into.
Okay. So just I too would love additional community engagement. I would love it to not have been at this point in time, but just realistically, in order to actually make this happen, get it over the finish line, you are going to, Caltrans is going to need enough time to be able to respond to the enormity of public comments that you will likely get. And you're going to need to be able to be thorough about that. And so, realistically, your organization is going to need enough time to do that.
Exactly.
Okay, so I just, because I think all of us would like that, it sounds like it's not possible to do that and keep the money. If you think it's possible, if you follow along with the appropriate address, we're talking. So I just think that's important for us to say. So with that in mind, though, are we able to hold, in addition to the public stakeholder engagement that CalPERS is going to hold, can we commit to holding our own public engagement during this time?
It's a great question. So the two things that we've talked about doing, and we're open to your feedback, and we'll do what needs to be done, is having our December 4th meeting be a public meeting, public hearing, and advertising, et cetera. We'll be receiving comments. We've also talked about scheduling a special meeting of our Citizens Advisory Committee, where they'll have a presentation, and they'll also have the opportunity to hear public comment. That's not yet scheduled. We were waiting to get CFEAR released, and then so we are planning to schedule and hold those two events. So that would be two events that we're doing and two events that Caltrans is doing. We're also we have the benefit of the fact that we have to communicate with the public all the time, our riders, right? We post things on our buses, and we send out push alerts to our riders. We have a lot of robust engagement with people, and people who ride our 42 are on the corridor every day. They are users of the I-80 corridor, right? So we have the opportunity to engage them in a way that we frequently engage our robust riders for any manner of issues when it comes to transit. So we can do events at the County Fair Mall, or at the Memorial Union, at our transit center. We have other cards that we can play, and we're happy to hear the board's suggestions and feedback on other things that we can do.
So because we have to do it so quickly, because realistically it is, oh my God, it's mid-November.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard a lot of, we have the potential, right? We can do these things. At what point will we have a solid plan of here are the things we're going to do?
Well, you heard that plan tonight. All of those things are already in process. They've been ready for months, frankly. It was just a matter of changing the dates and getting them ready and making sure that the messaging and everything was still consistent. So everything that you heard tonight are already the things that we're planning to do.
Okay.
And then anything else, we're open to your suggestions and feedback on additional activities you'd like to take.
Mm-hmm.
Additional board questions or comments, and Mr. Dolphins, thank you, Jeff. I'll jump in. These draft documents just been released hours ago, so it may be that there's more interest from us personally as board members and the community in the non-environmental issues. The 45-day or the 53-day, that's the opportunity to comment on the environmental issues, the actual merits of the project, or the community aspects, or the inclusion aspects of the project are also items that might not be items we would comment in the environmental review, but it could be transported or transmitted to Caltrans separately, to YPTD, and to CTC, and I think continue in January. So, and the one point, the other point is, this EIR, environmental document, might have a few topical areas that are super relevant and really need scrutiny, and it could be that there's other environmental chapters in that document that are more benign. So the 45 days might be enough, or the 53 already might also be enough. So I think given that it just came out today, it's important to see there is context in the comment opportunities and the types of issues that will be in that environment document.
If I may, Mr. Chair.
Please.
I appreciate that comment, and we touched upon the fact that we have a survey that we've prepared that is now live on our website. And that survey is very much intended to do what Director Dolphins is saying, which is to recognize that there are broader questions and broader issues around this project that we want to make sure that we're getting input on. So our outreach, and frankly, commenting on the EIR is a very thick document, so very technical, and so our survey is intended to be more accessible. And to kind of both educate about the project and also solicit input that is in less technical terms.
Director Early.
Speaking of things, how long is it?
It's so many attachments. I haven't downloaded them all. I don't even know. Because it's a number of different, I mean, it's like 8 different things you have to download.
Okay.
It'll be in its entirety for you to think on the site.
Okay.
Right now we haven't taken place to the website, but it's on the CEQA.net.
It's looking like the email was not received by all the board members. I'm getting messages that they said you did not get another email of this afternoon, so we'll make sure we get that. Okay, so we'll make sure we get all the board for that afternoon.
Anything more you'd like to say, Greg? I appreciate your patience and your yourself. We know this has been a struggle. Thank you. I think the team did a pretty good job, and the gentlemen are always in all the details at the tail end of things, the websites and stuff like that. Thank you. We express our appreciation that we finally got. Thanks.
Mr. Chair, just one other quick question to follow up and apologize.
Director Ferris.
Thanks. I'm going to go back to the item that I raised around the public meetings because I didn't really hear much of an answer. I think the question is, again, so the West Sacramento, meeting is planned for just 2 days, Tuesday just after Thanksgiving. It's about 2 weeks away almost to the day. It's a couple hours. Other than our YPD sort of efforts, I mean, what kind of publicity will we be seeing from, at least on the Caltrans side of things, to make sure that we have, robust awareness in the community, but also for turnout, obviously. And then I think the same is true, frankly, still, again, for the December 13th meeting. I'm curious about the outreach that Caltrans plans on doing. I mean, there was no outreach or engagement with any of our local agencies yet about setting the date, so what can we expect from Caltrans around coordinating with our local agencies around publicizing such important meetings for both the November 28th and December 13th dates? Thank you.
We are planning to have the website's been working. We would have the public notices for both of those meetings. And that would be blasted out, as well as the ads for newspapers. So,
legally required ads, or what do you mean ads for the papers? That's all right. Legal notices. Yeah. Okay. Great. Thank you.
All right. Are we concluded in our discussion? We haven't had public comments here tonight. Does anyone in our room this evening wish to comment on this item? I'm not seeing anyone. Madam Clerk, does anyone wish to comment in the public?
We do. We have Mr. Allen Hurst.
Allen, please proceed. You've got 3 minutes.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to have this out finally. I'm curious. I gather additional alternatives were added. What her policy direction was handed? There was an MOU that basically restricted them, so I'm just wondering why and how was that done? Was that run down by the Toll Policy Commission? I'm kind of curious. I'm also interested to find out what the outreach looks like, and will it restrict it? Will it basically tell people what they should comment on, which is about not the results of the study, but basically the adequacy of the analysis. Was the scope correct? Were the methods right? Were the assumptions correct? Were there an adequacy of analysis? And also very clearly, SB 743 says, level of service is not relevant in terms of an environmental impact study. That was it was called a social inconvenience in Tom and Woodland's EIR for the new pet park of 113. So I assume that there'll be no discussion or minimal discussion about level of service changes or improvements around this project in your presentation, because that is not relevant to EIRs. If you do that, I would suggest that might be constrained as advocacy of a particular alternative or whatever, which is not what the environmental impact study is about. So I hope you'll be conscious of that. I'm also quite concerned about the lack of time. I received a letter from CARB about a Caltrans study of a widening, a managed lane addition in Southern California, and they understated induced demand by 15 times. That's according to the CARB letter to Caltrans. To remedy that sort of error, it's going to take more than 30 days. That's a massive error. I don't know I haven't looked at the study. I don't know, but I'm quite concerned the 30 days is not adequate to really cure and give you a correct analysis out of this EIR, considering how much change there is in the process. And Caltrans, as of July, had not really incorporated the induced demand effects, even for managed lanes, according to CARB. So I'm quite concerned. And again, the deficiency of time does not just affect the public, but also affects the agency. These people, the professionals and other agencies looking at this thing like CARB, have vacations and they go off time and they have days and days off. I understand you extended 8 days, but more than half of those days, they weren't working. And counting today as a review day is not really right when they release the study at 5 o'clock in the evening and people haven't worked today. So you can't really count today as a review day, especially because half the board hasn't even gotten it. So I'm just really concerned with this is a really important project. And you're basically constrained the time frame, and the extension still isn't adequate, and Caltrans' new methods are not tested. I hope you frame it what's presented here as unpeer review. It's unpeer review input on Caltrans advocating for this project. It's unpeer reviewed. I hope you make that very clear. This has not been peer reviewed, and the methods need to be critiqued. Thank you very much for listening. This is an important project. It's a pivotal project, and I'm sure you'll do as good a job as you can.
Thank you, Alan. And did you get the two public meeting dates that were stated earlier?
Yes, I did. Thank you. Heather's been very good about keeping me up to date. She's been very thorough. I appreciate her thoroughness on this.
I appreciate the feedback. We appreciate Heather, too. Thank you. Any additional public comments tonight on this item?
No.
Thank you. I presume that concludes the item, so we will now move on to item 5, service change for WSP USA Inc. for the Yodel 80 Management Project. That this is going to be Brian again.
Yeah, this is just a short item with just a couple of slides. Let me find my way to them in my little packet here. So Autumn did reference in the earlier presentation what the tolling advanced planning process kind of entails, but it's a big effort. It's a heavy lift for us and for our consultants. There's a lot of work that needs to be done between now and in March. And so, fortunately, we have a good consulting team in WSP who has the resources they can put towards the project in order to get us the documents that we need to have a complete tolling application to the CTC. We have an existing agreement with WSP to help. It was executed about, I want to say, a year ago, and they've been helping, guide us and giving us, technical advisory services and so forth. But what we need them to do now, and what they've been doing to a certain extent, is to really start zeroing in on these very technical documents that need to be completed for the tolling application to the CTC. Now, Adam also referenced that these costs are covered by the SACOG grant that we were awarded back in June, right? And we've obligated those funds, so we're in a position to expend them and incur reimbursable expenses. However, because we're doing the environmental process and tolling advanced planning kind of in parallel, we need to advance funds in order to cover WSP's cost for the tolling advanced planning task that we're asking them to do. And it's really a subset of the larger scope of work that was funded by the SACOG grant. So what this table essentially shows you are the areas that are within WSP's first scope of work for us in the near term. That's some project management and controls, that's administrative. Concept of operations is going to be a big one. Providing some
coordination services with Caltrans for the revised traffic and revenue study that Caltrans is working on. And also the big ones, the CTC application. They have the expertise to write a complete application and one that can put us in the best position to, governing authority, in the best position to, receive that, that tolling authority. So, we were originally going to ask for the full amount of these items, up front, but we realized that the process isn't, you know, could go sideways at any point, and we want to make sure that we are only asking for funding that we feel like we need when we need it. So what we've done, and we've let WSP know, is that we're going to be asking for board approval to sort of get for just-in-time funding to make sure that we can continue to progress with the work that they're doing, and that they won't have any work stoppages, but that if something occurs where we need to put a pause on the project, then we will, we have the ability to do that without locking ourselves into, you know, funding commitments to, WFC. So that's what the staff recommendation is to, authorize the executive director to make those, contract amendments incrementally over the next couple of months as we need them, to make sure that we're being good stewards of the funding that we receive. So. That, I think, concludes. Oh, there's another. Go ahead,
Bob. Just one quick technical note to go back, Heather. Sorry. There's an error on this slide. It says it's $110,000 of the existing agreement, but it's actually $115,000, and that's what's accurate in the staff report, but it says an inconsistency there. It's not material, and what's in the resolution is correct, but I just wanted to highlight that. That where it says, the second to bottom line, where it says existing agreement is 110, it's actually 115.
Thank you. Directors, are there questions, staff, on this issue?
There's one, this last slide just sort of shows you what we're asking for authorization for relative to the broader process. So you can see that larger bolded blue arrow is between now and March. That's the extent of the work that we're asking WSP to do between now and then. Anything after that, we would likely be coming to planning to the board for additional authorization, because there will still be process after March, and there will still be work that needs to be done in the tolling advanced planning field. What we're focusing on right now is the work that needs to be done in order to have a complete tolling application, which is not the totality of the scope of work funded by State College for tolling advanced planning.
Thank you. With that clarification, directors, are there questions of the staff on this issue? I see none to my right, none to my left. Any member of the public wish to comment on this issue?
Mr. Alan Hurst, Mr. Sanders.
Alan, you've got 3 minutes.
Thank you very much. I'd like to have copies of all these slides that were delivered to me by email. You can pop slides at the staff pop slides at a meeting like this. They should be available to the public contemporaneously. Most cities provide the slides in advance as part of the packet. I remain concerned about the social equity of this project. You can't basically mitigate social equity by basically just giving the poor people bus passes, so the poor people get free bus passes while the other rich people popped out of the congestion on the freeway. That's a concern. And I understand the business community last time endorsed this project. Of course, the business community would. They're the richer people that can opt out of the congestion. I think there's some profound social equity issues in basically having a toll lane where the rich can opt out of congestion. It's like school vouchers, where you can then add the school vouchers on top of your private tuition, so the rich can basically opt out of the public, to the commons, opt out of the public school system. This is the same thing. Everybody pays for this extra lane, but the rich get to use it because they pay the tolls. That's the real aspect. I know pricing is great. We're all neoliberals now, but this is what the effect of a toll lane is. I hope that you studied whether this lane could be used for trucks as well as buses and not cars. Because certainly we want to reduce demand when it comes to trucks, I don't think we want to induce demand about just individual consumers driving further and farther and sprawling out. So I'm interested to see what the alternatives are, but I'm quite concerned about the toll lane, which will not solve the congestion problem. It will basically increase the greenhouse gases. And Caltrans has said that in its own policy directions. Toll lanes are not sustainable. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. Additional public comment online?
No additional public comment.
Okay, there's none from
another. A hand did just go up, Mr. Chair, and the members of the public.
Okay, please identify yourself, and you'll have 3 minutes. Your name, please.
Hi, my name is Gabriel Ehrlich. My last name is spelled Ehrlich. I'm feeling a little scared to comment. It's like an exciting project for me, for the possibilities it has, for like expanding the viability of public transportation. It also feels like there are a lot of environmental pitfalls to me, so I'm like sort of torn. It was actually about the previous item that I meant to comment. I guess I didn't raise my hand correctly or in time. I just wanted to thank the directors that were, I wanted to thank Caltrans for putting it out. I'm looking forward to seeing what's in the document. I wanted to thank the directors that were asking for more public comment time. It feels important. Like this is, even if it is like longer than 45 days, this time of year is, those days aren't worth as much. If we'd stuck to the, if the DED had come out earlier, there would have been, days that were not on the holidays, for the public to look over it. I'm just really glad to hear about the commitment I'm hearing on the board to looking into public involvement in this process, in the environmental part. I heard someone say that this is a public resource that's shared, something that we all have a privilege to, and it's also something that we have a responsibility to, and we experience the liabilities together. And I think that's more what the environmental part of this process is. It's like what impact on the environment do we want to be responsible for? So I thought that might be a good addition to the framing for that. And I also wanted to comment on the power dynamic. It seems like because of the MOU, the board has given over a lot of power to Caltrans to decide how this process goes. I'm also thinking back to the allegations that Ginny Ward-Waller made that haven't substantively been addressed. I think
your previous sir.
Thank you. Alcoza?
Thank you for your comments. Yeah. All right. Additional people online? Director Early would like to speak if we're done with the public.
There are no further comments on him. I just wanted to make sure I clarify, Autumn, that what we're voting on here is to increase the potential of the budget here and give you the authority to make some of those decisions. No guarantee that all these dollars will be spent, right? It's as needed and as we're working through the timeline.
That's correct. You're authorizing me to kind of parse out that funding in increments up to that $537,000.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Is that it? Lucas,
Director Ferrer,
has another comment.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. Just a quick comment, which is particularly on this item. I appreciate sort of obviously discussion on this, but I think I was just going to say that I think I think there's merit in doing this work, having this work performed, and I appreciate Director Early's sort of clarification about sort of the, up to, not necessarily just like carte blanche, like this will be the amount. But I particularly, I think it's important, regardless of whether or not this particular project, it ultimately, at the end of the day, advances, this work around a regional tolling authority is very useful work, because the reality is, if it's not on Interstate 80, there are going to be other managed lane projects throughout the Sacramento greater Sacramento region. I'm pretty sure of that. It's certainly part of Caltrans' plans in the years ahead. And so beginning the regional tolling authority approvals and sort of initiating an agency is something that needs to happen across the region. And so for all, especially my board colleagues that serve on SACOG, I think that is the rest of this board, basically. I think it's really important that we are engaged in this work, whether or not ultimately the project in throughout Yolo County is approved as a managed lane, or whether it's even completed. So yeah, thanks very much. Appreciate the time for making a few comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Ferrer. I'm not seeing any additional indication of interest, so I think we have a motion before us.
Lauren will second the motion.
Well, all right. The chair will make that motion, seconded by Director Lauren.
Can I clarify here that the motion is to approve, sounds like, staff recommendation to approve the resolution that's in the packet authorizing staff, the executive director.
That's exactly what I had in mind. Great, my thoughts. Thank you. So it's on the record that we are giving, we're delegating authority to our executive director to supplement the funds necessary for the consultants to do what needs to be done between now and March for certain.
Incrementally.
Incrementally. Thank you, Director Lauren. That's the motion made by the chair, seconded by Director Lauren before the motion was made, but that's all right. All right. Madam Clerk, could you please call the roll?
City of Portland?
Aye.
City of Davis?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Woodson?
Winter?
City of Winter?
Woodson will vote yes again.
I can't hear.
City of Winter?
Aye.
And Yolo County?
Aye.
All right. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. And we can now move to item 7, which is administrative reports. And this is for other items, board members. We can start with you. And so I'll look to my left. Quinn, do you have a report? Mm-hmm. No report from Quinn, but her mom might.
I'm hoping that Director Chapman shares this report out from SACOG. Actually, we had a four-county meeting recently that really was, I think, our effort to really look to the future, both with Caltrans, Sacramento RT, as well as, again, across the four counties, talking about the potential projects and how we could work together. I know you've been on SACOG historically for a very long time, and so most likely these efforts have happened before. We're very hopeful that that from this we really will start to see more projects in which we're working across our counties, even if maybe that county in and of itself is not going to be the one that benefits. So for me, it was the first time I had done something like that, and it really was for me.
Thank you, Director Early. And Ms. Wong, I didn't mean to pass you by. If you had anything else going on at Caltrans? Nothing. Thank you. Okay. We'll start this then. Nothing for me. Director Dalton, university has nothing done. There's some money in there for you for your campus transportation plan.
That's right. And that's an exciting project, a partnership project that is grant funded to help UC Davis and Yolo City do the sustainability and education plan for Davis campus and the area. So that is going to be an amazing step forward, and we're looking forward to that starting, I think, next year. So that will be a real item. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Director Dalton. Director Chapman.
Nothing more than what Director West already commented on. Thank you.
All right. All right. And I will be happy to hear the director's report on Beeline, which is, there are sightings all over Woodland, thanks to Beeline. But I'm not done.
We're going to go to Transdev first.
Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Chair. Excuse me. You know, I forgot my board members online. Could you hold 1 minute? Dr. Lauren, if you're happy to see the report.
I was just at the meeting that Dante early mentioned, and it was State Cox, SMOG, Sacramento Metropolitan Air Quality Management District, and SAC Regional Transit all at the table together, which I think is a first. And it was pretty amazing to, you know, have policies for climate action all together. So that's all.
Thank you. And Director Brer, any comments?
I don't want to take away from the joy and excitement of the first four board meetings that happened recently, but I'm not sure if other agencies from the region in any of the sort of outlying counties except for Sacramento County were invited to participate in that meeting. But it would have been, I think there's a real opportunity to have, Yolo Transportation District and, many other of our regional agencies participate. A little Sacramento-centric, but anyway, just we still appreciate all of you as SACOG board members participating. Thanks so much for that.
It was kumbaya if you had an invitation. That's about to fill my coffee bar looking for the gold ticket. All right. Thank you. That's the board's comments. Now we go to Transit. Thank you so much again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just report on where we currently are with recruiting. We've had a struggle this year, as you know. We actually have the number that we need right now. We have two more operators coming out by the end of the week, and then just the next couple weeks after that, five more coming out, which means that we have more than what we need for current service levels, but what's also into is adding additional bid lines, which is service for to cover outages for folks calling in being sick or vacation and things like that, so better coverage for give everybody a little bit of more of a rest as well that are covering right now for extra hours. But we're being right at the end of the tunnel until we get to the next group of getting more operations.
Are you training at the moment?
We are. We currently have two that are in service training and five that are still doing their behind the wheel to complete further licensing. We did hold off on doing any more classes, and we're going to review in another couple of weeks with either of our classes in the beginning of December if needed.
This question, do you use your drivers interchangeably between our reline service as well as the buses?
They are. All the operators are trained to do any service.
That's great. So staff, you're right. All right. We'll leave it at that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Then moving on down to the executive director's report.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we did send out a pretty long executive director's report on Friday, so I won't repeat any of that. On the D-Line, I did want to share that, the monthly ridership report we shared only tells a portion of the story, and I hope you saw the great quotes that were in there from some of the riders who feel we do some really positive reports from our riders. But what's interesting, what's not in there, and we'll share more of this detail with you in January when we do our 3 month review, is the week-over-week increases that we've seen. We gave you, I think, about 1,000 trips for the month of October, just in Woodland. So what we saw was just every single week we saw steady increases. And we're already seeing people riding late in the evening. We're seeing people riding on the weekends. We're seeing people riding all the time. So it's exciting, and we're looking forward to digging into the details of the data with you in January. Back to what Michael was just saying about hiring, we had a great meeting with the Yolo County Department of Health and Human Services last week to discuss job opportunities at Yolo Bus for individuals who are in the alternative court system at Yolo County. We actually already have four individuals who come through one of the alternative court systems here in Yolo County, but through conversation with them, we're looking at expanding that partnership. It's a real win-win. It gives us an opportunity to fill vacancies. And to help people who are, struggling through a difficult period of their life and giving them an opportunity, to have stable employment. So it was a very positive conversation, and we're looking forward to more partnerships with them. We have completed a draft of the salary survey for our Yolo TD positions, and we're hoping to bring that first to the Ad Hoc Committee on Compensation and then to the board as soon as December. We'll be asking the board to consider updating the salary ranges and also our policies on how we place people within those ranges. So stay tuned for more details on that. One other thing I wanted to flag is detours in downtown Sacramento. So we've been having a lot of challenges with the number of events that are now happening in downtown Sacramento between the Capitol Mall and the Golden One Center, which have so many detours. There are so many events, and we're very happy for downtown Sacramento that there are so many great events in Sacramento. But what happens is that the Tower Bridge becomes very difficult for us to use. So this impacts not just our 42 A and B, but also pretty much all of our West Sacramento local service. We end up having to detour those buses onto the freeways instead of going across the Tower Bridge because it is the way that is uncongested and open. And so these detours can last sometimes 3 to 4 days for major weekend events. And it's really challenging when there's like closures on the Capitol Mall and closures because of Golden One Center events. So we had a good conversation about the Citizens Advisory Committee, which asked us to agendize it. We didn't identify any silver bullet solutions, but we're going to be, we did identify some potential next steps in terms of additional conversations we can have with the City of Sacramento to talk about options that we may be able to do. Because it's really unfortunate, it's in everybody's best interest to make it actually easy to take transit to these events in downtown, but actually we're having to do opposite of events, that when there's events downtown, it becomes extremely difficult for people to get there who are coming from the local campus. So that concludes my executive director's report.
Thank you. I was young during there, but prompted my recollection. I was a passenger on the 43B a few weekends ago during the detours, and the driver did an amazing job of explaining the detour and explaining that passengers might want to be aware of the detour and change their intended cup location because of that detour. So it was really seamless from the driver's perspective and handled really well by the driver. So thank you for that. Yeah. All right. Do we have any ad hoc committee reports tonight?
So we did include in the Yellow 80 update a summary of the two meetings of the Tolling Advanced Planning Committee that has met except twice since the last board meeting. I don't know if either if any of the board members would like to share anything for that, but I'd say that most of what we covered was covered tonight. Thank you, Director Ferris.
Director Ferris, is that consistent with your opinion?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. All right. Then the long-range calendar, any items? Well, we've already had a pretty good discussion of what's on our long-range calendar for the coming several months, but you have other things you want to mention.
We do, and hopefully I think this is in your packet in front of you. You can read it on there, but so next month, it's time to approve meeting dates and holidays for 2024. Actually, this looks like it's not quite right. We also were planning to appoint our chair and vice chair for 2024, also in December.
It'll take effect on January 1, but nice to have it resolved.
I apologize. This actually, what's in the slide deck is not accurate. If we can look at what's at the very last page of your packet, has got the correct long-range calendar. So that is appointing a chair and vice chair, approving meeting dates and holidays, draft environmental document presentation and discussion. Of course, we've talked about that. Report and possible action on the salary survey and our first quarter financial status report. So that's December. That's a lot. In January, we, again, well, I'm sure we've got yellow 80 minute plans on every item. So, sorry, apologies. If you look at the last page of your board packet, it's
accurate.
Yeah, my apologies. In January, we'll be coming back to an issue we discussed at our last board meeting about our paratransit policy and rider applications. So we'll be bringing that back to you in January, seeking the feedback we've heard from you all. We'll be giving you an update on some of our transit planning activities that we've got coming up in the coming year. Woodland Transit Center will be coming back for a report and possible action on relocating our transit center to downtown Woodland. And we're aiming to have the audited financial report either in January or February. So I'll stop there and see if there's any questions along the calendar.
Are you
going to
talk about February?
Sure, I can talk about February. So again, we'll be talking about Yellow 80 every month. And then we want to kick off our work plan and budget development process for fiscal year 2024-25. As we've talked about, we want to align our work plan and our budget. So we kind of have those in some separate processes, but we're going to be integrating those this year. And so we'll be kicking off that process in February. We also want to talk about potentially expanding the D-line, our next planning service area to include the town of Yolo. And we'll be giving you that 3-month status report on Beeline Global Ed Ecology. I told you that was January, but I think we're going to push that to February. And again, another financial status report.
All right, thank you. Before we adjourn, we are scheduled to meet on the second Monday, as usual, December 11th, 2023. Is that, are all members present expecting to be able to participate that evening?
Yes.
All right, I see heads nodding even online, so that will be our next meeting. Will be December 11th, 2023 at 6 p.m. here at the Yolo Transportation District Boardroom. Now, as we move towards adjournment, I will mention that our last item of the evening is a closed session related to public employment, and we're acting pursuant to the government code in holding this closed session, and that there will be no report out information after the session. So this will conclude our public meeting for tonight. With that, we adjourn. Thank you.